Hey everybody, this is Sensei Anthony coming to you with another episode of the Karate Chronicles Legacy Edition. I'm here with my pop. And Friday, January the 22nd. And I figure we'd just jump right in. I'm going to switch it up a little bit because normally I talk about the value of practical martial arts and the value of evolved training. But my question today, pop, is, and this we haven't rehearsed this, folks. This is always impromptu. Why would you recommend that somebody study a classical martial art like kendo when we don't use swords anymore, or kudo, you know, Japanese archery? Why would you recommend that somebody study a classical art? Because now the rage, especially with mixed martial arts being so popular, is it's got to be ultra, you know, this is proven that works. If it doesn't work, you shouldn't study it. What would you say would be the benefit of learning something like kudo, or you know, the naginata, or something like that, the halberd, for the people that don't know what that is? What do you think?
In my opinion, I believe that it teaches you patience, for one, because you can't rush, say, kendo, for example. You can't. You just can't go out and do your own thing on kendo or naginata or right. Yaido. There's a certain way of doing whatever it is that you're doing. You see, for example, in Yaido, if you're doing kiritsuke, okay, or you're doing nukitsuke, well, you have to do that technique until you have it perfect. Until you look like you, it looks like you're doing kiritsuke or nikitsuke. You can't wobble,
right?
You can't waver. You can't dig in your ear when you're supposed to be doing a strike, or the case may be. It teaches you focus. You know.
Yeah.
So now you take that patience and focus, and you put that with using your hands and your feet. Okay, so when you do that back fist, you know exactly where it's going.
Right, see?
See?
I always thought that a fencer would be a dangerous person to have to fight if they studied, like, boxing or something. Because they're focused.
Yeah.
You ever watch an Olympic fencing match?
Yeah.
Like, it's fast. So fast, I can't even tell who got who. Mm-hmm. They know. Mm-hmm. Because the person who goes, boom, and they'll raise their foil, got him. And the other person's like, oh, dang, got me. You know, that's fast. So if you can throw a back fist the way a person thrusts a foil, and well, shoot, that's what Bruce Lee was trying to do with his lead, you know, with his lead blast. I just saw a video earlier today where it talked about how a lot of the kicking techniques in old karate, like when it was in Okinawa, came from Savat in France, because they're importing all of these different ideas. And Savat, when they made weapons illegal, swords illegal, they're using their feet in the same way that you would thrust with the foil. And you know, in Okinawa, well, it wasn't karate really in Okinawa, it was te. Right. You know, they had a lot of joint locks and throws and that indigenous wrestling tegumi. So there wasn't a lot of kicking techniques at all back then, because well, one, the ground isn't conducive to throwing a lot of kicks, right?
Yeah.
It was damp and wet. And
yeah. Well, you know, once again, it, like I said, it teaches you focus and patience.
Right.
Because you don't want to rush your attack. You see what I'm saying? You don't want to, I made a mistake. Oh, he didn't do what I thought he was going to do. You know?
Especially if it was a weapon. You know, it's like...
Right. Yeah. So you're waiting for that perfect time, because soon, you know that the guy has a weapon, for example. You know, so he, you know, all of a sudden, you know, he appears with a knife. Well, either you're going to back off or you're going to attack.
Go right in.
So if you do, you have to know exactly where you're going with your punch or your kick.
Yes.
Or your grab. You know, if you grab his wrist, for example, let's say. Or let's say if you're going to do a judo technique on him, you know, on a person. Well, you have to know exactly how you're going to do that, and you have to have enough patience to learn the technique so that it becomes effective. So again, you're looking at patience,
right,
and you're looking at discipline.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, I think that's the, and besides it being just for the beautiful art,
Right.
The aesthetics of it. Naginata, Kendo, Yaido, all that stuff. It's all beautiful to me.
Yeah, yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. I was just thinking like I was thinking about it. I saw once this old Japanese dude. He was no taller than his bow.
Mm-hmm.
He went out there, had his glasses, kind of walked out, mm-hmm. kind of funny. He drew that bow, and he hit something practically the size of, it was like an aspirin tablet. I'm like, mm-hmm. how can you even see that thing? Mm-hmm. But when he drew, he went out there, bowed, and mm-hmm. he went, boom! I mean, he hit that thing. So, I mean, his draw was so smooth. I'm like, that's thousands of hours of practice.
That's right. That's right. That's
and
right.
I don't think that's people right. want to put that kind of effort into, quote unquote, getting something, you know, getting good at something. Like, if you tell them, it'll take you 10 years to be an expert at this, they get pissed at you, or they think that that's too much. But if you can focus on something like that, you can focus on homework. Sure, you can focus on your job. Sure, you know, that's the way I've kind of looked at it.
And also, too, sacrifice.
Right.
You know, you sacrifice, you give up watching your TV show for
right,
you know, for,
right.
for an hour workout. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right, right.
And so what becomes more important to you, learning how to be focused and patient, or watching your TV show, which you're not going to get anything out of,
right?
You know, so you spend your life doing something that requires patience and focus. Just imagine how good you are at that, you know.
Yeah.
So you do best what you do most,
right? Right.
Know? So yeah.
And the cool thing about it is, like I tell people. You know, everybody says, I'm multitasking, and I tell people, don't. Mm-hmm. Humans have the ability to multitask, but there have mm-hmm. been tons of studies that show that we're not great at it. Mm-mm. We just think we are. Mm-hmm. We can, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can throw a baseball, but I'm not going to be able to make that into any leagues, right? We can do it, yes, but we shouldn't. So, when I think about something like archery, especially since mm-hmm. if you miss badly, you know? Mm-hmm. or if you're lazy with the draw and the Aido, you can hurt yourself, or it just doesn't mm-hmm. look right. Like all right. these kind of things.
Right, right.
The main thing I think beyond the focus is the pushing out distractions.
Like, exactly.
No matter
exactly.
what's happening, you got cars honking, and you do this, and you're just like, mm-hmm. doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. and you can make mm-hmm. your target, whatever it is you can do.
Mm-hmm.
I know in the early days, Frank Shamrock, mm-hmm. you know, one of the pioneers of modern MMA training. He yeah. studied like Kendo, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a guy who was one of the prototype examples of how to incorporate different kinds of training
mm-hmm.
and nutrition and fitness. Mm-hmm. I mean, that dude just never got tired. He was
yeah.
it's crazy. But he did like Kendo. And I'm mm-hmm. sure people would wonder, why would you as a mixed martial artist study Kendo? Well, it's mm-hmm. like, well, you get something out of it, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I tried Kendo. It wasn't for me. It's too restrictive as far as leg movements go.
Right.
And that after the first night of class, my legs cramped because you have to stay in a certain, keep your feet in a certain,
yeah.
you know, and do that. And it wasn't for me because I'm more freestyle.
Right.
Now, I can take two batons and let me get free, and I'm great. I'm
right.
good, man.
Right,
they
like a gymnastics.
Yeah, you try right. to restrict me to my movement. That's not natural for me.
Especially mm-hmm. since the people practicing it were originally significantly shorter than we were.
Exactly.
You know, people act
exactly.
like if you have the body of an Escalade, you should try to drive it like somebody with the body of a Civic. It just, it's the
it
weirdest thing where people go, well, this is how they did it. It's like, yeah, he's 130 pounds. Of course he was fast. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I got mm-hmm. 90 pounds on this. You know, it was mm-hmm. like, I got 90, I got 100, I got 70, 40 pounds on this guy.
Right.
You know, and
right.
I don't
right.
think people understand that. But I think that nowadays, people are maybe coming back to it because the idea of consciousness and connecting the body and mind are way more important.
I think once we finally get all the glitz and the glamour out of the way,
yeah.
then people are more willing to focus on those kinds of things. Because the classical arts, it's kind of like, you know, you study classical music, but you like blues too.
Right.
You know, you like your little rock and roll, a little jazz, you
right.
know, a little gospel and all that kind of stuff. And so it helps you to spread out.
Right.
And once you're spread out, you'll find that all those different disciplines are connected.
Right, 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 right.
Yeah.
I told someone that if you study rock music and you can play like a heavy metal guitar,
mm-hmm.
you can play everything else because
oh, heck yeah,
there's
you
more
can.
Variety. Like
sure, sure.
Slash from Guns N' Roses can play that. He can play blues and people don't realize how
mm-hmm.
good he is
mm-hmm.
with an acoustic guitar. 'Cause he
mm-hmm.
made his money with Guns N' Roses and blah, 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 and Snake Pit and all this, but...
Mm-hmm.
he still had to study the same chords everybody else studied.
Yeah.
You know, there's a reason that he was at B.B. King's performances. B.B. King wanted him there, you know, and that's classic. You know, that's that's old stuff there. You know, that's not new stuff. Or...
And plus, you know, blues is so simple. You know, you know, 1-4-5, that's it.
Right.
You know, there's nothing to it than that, you know. Yeah, it's not as in-depth as you would say something Stravinsky or Tchaikovsky or Brahms or Bach or something like that, you know. But you said it's some plain old get down gut bucket blues.
Mississippi blues, that's right. That's
there's
right.
nothing to it. You know, you got some Muddy Waters, you know, and some Beethoven. That's why you should study classical art, you know, because it helps you to expand.
And the way I look at it is it also... The classical arts always have something for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
For the great, well, actually, it's kind of funny because even with mixed martial artists, I can only think of two that were really, really good that didn't have a base art. So even in the sense of that, they built on something. You know, the Gracie family.
You mean they just start studying?
Yeah, mixed martial arts. Like they went to mixed martial arts classes and only named Rory McDonald, very good fighter, and Carlos Condit. Everybody else I can think of who were champions had a base in something. Gracie family, of course, was jiu-jitsu. Mark Coleman, Randy Couture, Dan Severn. They were wrestlers. Leo Machida, karate background. Anderson Silva, taekwondo. Like, all these guys had a base they built on. George St. Pierre, Kyokushin, you know, and... There's something to that. You know, people ask, you know, I heard people say stuff like, oh, Kenpo's so great. Why don't you see it here? I'm always called punches. You know, it's like, what do you think? What do you think we do in Kenpo? Is, you know, just stand there not punching people? It means fist law, you know? When all these people that are in MMA, though, when their fighting career is done or when they've had one entry too many, what do they have left? Are you going to teach some, you know, you're going to teach one of those kids how to shoot a double leg takedown and elbow some other kid in the unconsciousness? It's like, no, you're going to teach him short form too.
The thing that, for me, mixed martial arts, it doesn't have the traditional method and approach. You know, it's kind of a collective of stuff. And on the street, more than likely, you're going to have that kind of freedom. You know how to kick, you know how to punch, you know how to take down, you know how to do that kind of stuff. Whereas with the classical art, you know, like Iaido, because I'm partial to that.
Right.
Hey, you know how to do that cut just perfectly. So when you do your back fist, you transfer that to doing a back fist, you know how to do that back fist perfectly.
Right.
Because you have the patience and you have the focus
to do just
to do it just like that. That's nothing less.
I think that people get confused about what their instructors could do and what they're able to do. It's like, well, this is what he taught me. I'm like, well, first of all, he did more reps in 1 month than you've done all this year. So even if it's something like you said, like drawing a sword, right? Bam, back fist, same idea.
Same idea.
You know, even archery, right? It still has that back fisting motion in it if you're looking at it that way. Or, you know, you see people inward block, reverse. It's like, hey, they only got to hit you with one of those, and they've done a million of them. You know, it's when you look at those old school JKA tournaments, those dudes, they last and punch because, you know, they just trap it. Bam! Yeah, it's like, oh, God.
Keep it simple.
It's like, geez.
All that jumping up in the air, man, and you're hurting your joints and all that kind of stuff. And after a while, that begins to catch up with you.
Right.
So that's why you keep it. You find older people who are much more treacherous because you know you don't have time on your side.
Cardio's not looking great for you. It's not going in your favor,
that's not your thing there, you know? So when you move like a lightning a bolt, and you bust somebody up real good, and I didn't even see him move. Yeah, because he's been doing that forever.
Right.
You wasn't supposed to see him move. You're supposed to feel it, not see it.
After the fact. Like Kendo, just being able to cover that kind of ground, or, you know, like you said, Iaido, being able to step in and, if you step in back, it's bam. It's the one you don't see that knocks you down anyway, right?
Exactly.
And for you folks out there who don't think so, Watch a boxing match where someone gets knocked out. Mm-hmm. Look at the person who's on the ground. Watch him. He'll ask the referee what happened. Mm-hmm. They never... I mean, never I've seen see that it. Happen a never ton see of times. I mean, they're literally like, what just happened? It's mm-hmm. like, they have no idea. And you spend all that time studying a classical weapon like Iaido or Kendo or... Mm-hmm. Let me think. Even a Naginata. Mm-hmm. Because they still are able to make that step in and bam, mm-hmm. you know, without their weapon, they can still step in and mm-hmm. staff, convert that. You know, yeah. Same oh, emotion. God, yeah, the bow.
Same motion, you know, it's always the same motion. Timing, okay, what's he going to do? Oh, he moved this way. What opportunity do I have? Boom, ankle is open. Boom, side of the head is open. The gut is open.
Right, right.
You know, so you see all that in just a flash of the moment. Mm-hmm. That's the whole purpose behind it. Boom, boom, boom. I didn't plan to do it. Right. But automatically, you see the opportunity. You take advantage of the opportunity. Patience and focus.
Right, right, right.
Right there.
And I think it's, like I said, it just offers... It's weird because I feel like what people do to make an art more evolved, they say, takes away from the spirit of it.
Mm. No, because the spirit is always there. I don't care if you're making pottery.
True.
The spirit of making that perfect
right.
piece. How do you do that?
Yeah.
What state of your mind are you in when you made that perfect piece of pottery?
That's, you know what, that's true. Mm-hmm. What I was thinking was, I spoke to this old screamador, old Filipino dude. Mm-hmm. And he was a senior instructor under Ernesto Presas, who mm-hmm. kind of codified all the stick fighting arts. Mm-hmm. He said that when he learned, he said there was only like four things they ever practiced. He said it was a figure eight mm-hmm. and an infinity sign. You found mm-hmm. your way to make mm-hmm. that work. Mm-hmm. He said they would hit sure. the water with their sticks to strengthen their, you know, mm-hmm. back and shoulders. Mm-hmm. And that dude, his forearms were this thick, you know.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
you know, in the Philippines, they use those ironwood trees. It's mm-hmm. not rattan. Rattan's... That's like foam bopping guns for
right,
us.
Right.
But they used to use this stuff called ironwood. Mm-hmm. And his forearms were massive mm-hmm. for his size. And he mm-hmm. said that all you did, all practice was...
Mm-hmm.
And but they did it forever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people mm-hmm. wanted to start adding yep. all this... People wanted to do all this stuff.
What kind of stuff are you talking
well,
about?
Well, the different kind of drills, like, you know, different combination attacks and all this oh, different okay. kind of
okay,
stuff.
Okay, sure. Sure.
And it, he said it took away from the intensity of some of the training because they would do some of this and then they would do some stuff that they liked mm-hmm. and then they wouldn't, they, you know, they didn't have the patience just to left, right.
Right, up, right. Down. And what they didn't realize is just doing those infinity movement. That's all you're doing.
Right.
That's the whole point. Strike, block, strike. Block, strike,
right,
block.
Right, right, right.
That's all you're doing. I mean, it's simple. A simple workout, very effective.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's kind of all you do. Sorry, folks. people call you sometimes. You're recording. Ay, Dios mío. And that just messed us up. I certainly hope not. That was good stuff. Oh, no. I think we're still good to go. Fantastic. Sorry yeah. about that, folks. So, yeah. That's, okay, well, that's a darn good answer. Just focus, discipline.
Mm-hmm. 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 And plus, too, it gives you a broader perspective on the arts.
Yes. Yes,
you know,
yes.
If you want to be a good chef, you know, you want to know how to, you know, hell, if you can't scramble eggs, that's the beginning. you can't be a good chef if you don't scramble eggs, man.
Right, right.
you know?
True.
Yeah, so it, like I say, it broadens your perspective.
Right.
You know karate. You know classical karate. You know practical karate. You know judo, jiu-jitsu.
Right.
All those, that makes up a gumbo, a stew of martial arts.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, so you want a little taste of all of that. You see?
Yes.
A little taste of all of that. But what people forget most of the time, I think, is that, yeah, you know how to fight real good, but do you know how to de-escalate a fight?
Right.
Do you know how to de-escalate, how to bring it down so that there won't be a fight?
Right.
This is not about being a tough guy, being able to kick somebody's butt. That's not what martial arts is about.
Right.
It's to try to smooth over your rough points, you know,
right.
You know, polish you,
right,
know, and give you some in-depth insight into humanity and mercy and compassion and all that.
Yeah.
And then there's the opposite of all of those.
Right.
Do you know how to do that as well?
Yeah.
So that there's the fine balance right there. If you unleash the monster, can you call it back?
Yeah, see, that's mm-hmm. That's good.
Mm-hmm. That makes a difference right there.
I like that. If you unleash the monster, can you bring it back?
Mm-hmm. Because if you don't, then you just a guy says, yeah, I want to see if this stuff works.
Right.
Oh, come on, man.
Knucklehead. Yeah,
you're a knucklehead, man. Yeah. So that's why I think there should be every school. You know, back in the 60s, 70s, you know, every school you went to, there was a code of conduct.
Right,
you
right.
Know, some people were interested in fixing their hearts. I remember reading this guy. He says, first you must fix their hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you still have that, one of the articles that I gave you some years
ago. Oh, yeah. I still have all those.
Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah. So fix the person's heart so they won't go out and do something with the art to hurt somebody because they're angry at. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
How to deal with anger. You see?
Right.
And how to be confident enough in yourself so that you don't have to become angry because you know what you're dealing with.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
An older person, you know, you learn how to deal with things over the years.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're young, then you're more apt to just lash out.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But when you're old, you lay back and say, okay.
Chill. Right.
Chill. I got you. Because you know, because you're doing, there's nothing coming down the pipe about, you know, you might get some guff about something. Yeah. Yeah, I've been there. I've seen that.
Right.
No big right. deal, you know?
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. That's good stuff right mm-hmm. there.
Yeah, so if you unleash that monster, you got to be able to bring it back. That's the difference between a knucklehead and a person of decency.
Yeah.
So you're a knucklehead, they'll fight anybody over anything.
Right, that's true.
You know? But a person who wants to keep the peace, you know, they'll say, okay, see, you got to pick your fights.
Yeah.
You got to pick your fights. Okay, this is not something you want to get involved in, you know.
Right.
But now you see somebody do something that's against your principles. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That might be the wrong person for you to mess with.
Right.
Because you broke
the wrongest person.
The wrongest. That's the wrongest person.
That's a word, I think. The wrongest person. I like it. The wrongest person.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. That's funny.
You open up a can that you can't handle.
Can't stuff it back in.
Can't stuff it back in.
Yeah.
And another thing, too. Yeah. A lot of people will say, well, I study this because it's a good workout and blah, 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 blah. And it's on my bucket list to earn a black belt.
Right.
Okay, that's fine. And that person is not necessarily a fighter, but you give them something to fight for, you're dead.
Yeah.
You're dead.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. And I used to struggle with that. Like, why would you take martial arts if you don't want to learn to defend yourself? That was hard for me to learn that some people just want to do the curriculum. I used to struggle with that, like, then go take gymnastics. You know? I used to struggle with that. It's like, come on, man. This is what martial arts are for.
Well,
so.
There's something for everybody, you know, because it's just something that may interest you. You know, you know all the history of the...
Right.
You maybe even be able to speak a little bit of the language and know the cultural ins and outs of each art that you study. You know, you're familiar with all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And this is the difference where you say, I want to learn how to apply this versus the classical aspect, which is like doing kata.
Right.
The way I understand it. you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can't fight from a kata.
No. You know?
So you have to break down the barrier, the traditional barriers that would allow you to be practical in your application. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know?
Yeah, you'd have to break down all those barriers and cross over that line of tradition, you know. See, your instructor is not going to be there with you when you're in a fight. No. Right foot back.
Right.
But yeah, that's not going to happen. You got to think on your own. That's why the art must fit the person, not the person fit the art.
Gotcha.
We fit the precepts of humanity and kindness and mercy, we fit that. But see, when it comes down to defending your life, that's a whole new stack of pancakes right there. That's a whole new stack of pancakes.
That's true. That's true. I like that. You know, that's a good, let's leave it at that. The whole new spec. That's a good place to end it. A whole new stack of pancakes. I like it.
Yeah, so just if you really want to have a good workout, practice back fist, punch, front leg kick.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care which kick you do, as long as it's not a back kick.
Yes.
You can do a front leg roundhouse kick, side kick, a front leg snap kick. You can do a heel kick.
Right.
You can do a sweep. You can do a knee stomp.
Yeah.
You can do all that, you know. So be practical with it. 1, 2, 3. I don't care if you do it 10 times a day, but do it on both sides 10 times a day.
Right.
You know, and be practical with it. Be effective with it and commit to your attack. Don't do it half-hearted. Commit all the way.
Go all the way.
Because you have to send a message of absolute terror and fear when you apply that.
Yes.
So you overpower them with speed, power, and outright violence. If it comes to that.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be you have to be committed to that. You see? So that's pretty much the foundation of practical application.
You know, gotcha.
Even now, I don't care if you're doing judo or doing jiu-jitsu.
Mm-hmm.
Commit to the technique.
Right.
You know.
Cool. And that's where the focus from, like I said, from traditional stuff teaches you get one of those or maybe one, two.
Exactly. And realize this too. I don't care if you're very young and in shape or old and not so much in shape. You've got to be practical, and you have to apply your technique in such a way where you do all the hitting and not.
You know? I told my kids that the other day. I said, way more important than hitting them is make sure they don't hit you.
Make sure they don't hit you. Mm-hmm. And then, see, that's the important part about the E in our little safe thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, is being evasive.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, instead of just standing there. Hey, move out of the way.
Yeah, exactly. You can frustrate a person just by not engaging sometimes.
Exactly. Sometimes you don't have to engage the person each and every time.
Mm-hmm.
See? Oh, they're angry now because they can't catch you. They can't hit you. Up, boom. But you could have knocked their head off.
Right.
That's where the mercy and
right. comes in. Right,
see,
right.
See, that's where the compassion comes in. I know he's angry because I took his parking space or whatever the case may be. You know, or because I'm in line ahead of him or because shoes look better. Whatever the case may be, you know. So you don't always have to hurt a person when you get into a, quote, fight.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Shoot, that's good stuff right there.
All right.
All right, folks. I'm going to wrap it up. You can check me out at martialartsoakland.com. We're on YouTube, Facebook, all the cool channels, Twitter, TikTok, all of that. But by far the most important thing, as always, is please be kind to yourselves and each other.